I present the Prophet of the Almighty Baller.
Installment of A Tribe Called Cavs, our 51st episode. Pretty sure about that. In fact, totally sure about that. So, you might have noticed at the end of last podcast, there was a Fan Essentials plug with some music added to it. I'm probably going to rework that, trim it down, if I'm going to use it again as a full promo. But the reason I'm mentioning this is because at the end of this podcast, there's a similar situation. But that great funky music in the background that you've become accustomed to me mixing in, I basically was too lazy to to put together. So you're just gonna have to forgive me, guys and gals. But if you're wondering what FanEssentials.net is, then my advice to you, and trust me, I'm a great advice giver, is to go to FanEssentials.net. And check out their product, especially if you're an NBA fan, which you are, because you are currently listening to an NBA-themed podcast, unless you're just listening to it because of our comedic stylings, in which case, I appreciate that, and thanks for supporting Almighty Ball and the Almighty Podcast. Speaking of being a fan of the NBA, if you haven't already listened to our last episode, in which we had Tim Cato, editor-in-chief of Mavs Moneyball, go ahead and listen to that. But please, go check out almightyballer.com. We've got great content by my numerous co-hosts and by a few other featured writers. And it's all edited by me. And it's all content that has been written by talented writers that you're sure to enjoy. So again, almightyballer.com for great, diverse, creative, informative, analytical sports writing. And FanEssentials.net for an awesome service. And when you're checking it out, just make sure you remember the promo code Almighty to not only support the podcast, but get 30% off your first month subscription. So without further ado, here we go with the episode.
We were talking earlier, I'm not sure if we were recording at this point, but Armand was saying that really one of the biggest issues with this Cavaliers team is that they're not going to win if they won't hit their fucking threes, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were 10 for 38 against the Nets tonight. That's just awful.
If they're going to put up 38 threes in a game, they're not even going to win against a team like
that. If they're going to push this model of stretching the court, you can't have Kyrie shooting 31% on the year from three and Kevin Love 34. That's just not good enough. And LeBron's like 28%.
Hey, man, I'll get it up. Don't be a dick.
Unless they have JR just splashing it from downtown, Channing Frye on his game, Kevin Love knocking down his shots, that court starts to compress a little bit with Tristan Thompson in there playing big minutes.
Yeah.
Look at the stat line tonight. Kyrie and Kevin Love together 11 for 36. That's awful.
Right.
It's also worth mentioning the fact that Kyrie and Kevin Love, when they have to play off ball, they can't get complacent. I know it's a personality thing, right? You have to think about it. With the big threes, right? You want to say, oh, why can't they just mesh together like Clay, Steph, and Draymond do? But
The
personalities there are completely different. Draymond loves just being that do-it-all kind of guy. Clay doesn't mind deferring to Steph. I don't think Kyrie and Kevin Love feel the same way. I don't think they feel the same way towards LeBron. I think they want those big shots. They want their personal ISOs and post-ups and things like that.
Right. You also have Tyronn Lue, which is sort of limiting because they're not going to implement that type of thing.
Yeah, he's very predictable.
I was talking about the other day, I'm not sure if it's recorded, but I was talking about how my litmus test for a really, really great coach is that they do things that I wouldn't have thought of. So I had doubts about the Spurs this year and their ability to contend. And I know coaching and I know basketball pretty well. And I didn't foresee, I didn't prophesize what the Spurs were going to do this year to win, and Greg Popovich figured it out. But on the other hand, it's like Tyronn Lue is doing all the things that I know ahead of time are not going to be functional for this Cavaliers team. And the thing is, the Cavs are not in a bind. If they end up getting to the finals, if they end up getting deep into the finals, say they're playing the Raptors, actually, it's only going to matter in the finals against whatever team, the Spurs or the Warriors, come out of the West. If they end up implementing all this stuff, then they're fine. They could easily win it all. That's the thing. That's the reason why I'm not totally off this Cavs bandwagon, is because as long as you make it to the finals, there's a chance. And especially if you end up implementing some of the things that I know and you guys know would help them be able to counter the talent and the play style that the Warriors have. It's just like, you know, I would trust David Blatt to make those changes, but I just don't trust Tyronn Lue to make those changes. And that's ultimately why I don't have as much confidence in this Cavaliers crew as I've had since LeBron made it to the Cavaliers. I've been like, look, this team is going to win a championship. In fact, there was a time at which I thought that they would maybe three-peat, but I don't think that that's going to happen, particularly now that they don't have a good coach. You need a good coach.
Right, and Ty Lue's just been frustrating because he just enables whatever the players want to do to really happen. You need to develop a true, strong player-coach dynamic, which just doesn't seem to be there. I mean, I think the Cavs could run into a bit of trouble with the Raptors just because, as I've spoken before, they struggle to defend,
yeah,
especially at the guard positions. I think DeMar DeRozan can do a really good job on J.R. Smith defensively and then just light him up on offense. And I think Kyle Lowry's shown it against the Cavs this year. He kills Kyrie.
Yeah.
Even if you put Shumpert on Kyle Lowry, with the slim down Kyle Lowry, I think you just blow right past him. I mean, Kyle Lowry's a quiet MVP candidate if Stephen Curry didn't lose his mind again this year and Kawhi didn't take this next jump to superstardom. And the final thing that I feel like people need to take note of, especially with the playoffs coming up, is with LeBron, you know, he's spoken about really focusing on the playoffs now, you know, going into playoff mode. He might buy into that, but what is his teammates' ability to do that? Do they really feel like they fully trust LeBron to lead them to the promised land?
Take us to the promised land.
Which is a ridiculous notion because of how amazing he's been in the playoffs. But you know what? Emotion's a real thing. If you don't like the guy, I mean, Kobe and Shaq, maybe they didn't like each other, but they both had that huge drive to win when they really bought in. Does Kevin Love have that? Does Kyrie really have that?
Yeah, but they did do it last year in the finals, right? And this is why I don't have any doubts about them making it to the finals. It's just like whether or not they can go over that mound. I think that like the answer to are you worried about the Cavaliers depends very much so on, wait, do you mean worried as in terms of are they going to make it to the finals or worried as in terms or are they going to win once they get there? Because I think all of us have substantial doubts about whether or not they're going to win the finals, especially because the Warriors are, like, historically probably going to end up being the team with the best record ever, if not the best. Like, they're already pretty much guaranteed to have the second best, but they'll probably end up being the best. We all have doubts about them once they make it to the finals, but, I mean, do any of you guys have doubts about, like, there's, like, a solid 95% chance that they're going to make it?
Oh, no. I have a hard time seeing any team in the East beating them in the playoffs.
I'm indifferent on that, actually. Not even indifferent. I actually think there's more of a chance than that. I do give them a little bit. Like, I'd say 80% chance that they make it to the finals. I do think there's a little bit more of a chance that somebody else sneaks in there, whether that be Toronto or...
Yeah, and I mean, that's a fair argument. I would just say
that I think there's a couple teams that could push them pretty deep in the playoffs, it's, depending on who it is.
Well, so could push them to six is so meaningless in the context of the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
They could push them to six is like, okay.
Yeah, I think if someone's going to upset them, which I don't think will happen, but it could, it's either, I think, going to be the Hornets or the Heat. Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I think the Heat are scary, especially in the playoffs, because they hopefully will have Chris Bosh back, and then also have Joe Johnson kind of at least in some form of a rhythm with that team. Dwayne Wade will be healthy.
There's no reason to think he won't be, you know?
Well, yeah, of course. He's playing fine right now. I just mean, like, he'll be more in tune with what the team does and such. But the other team, I think, could be a sleeper pick in the Eastern Conference to potentially upset them would be the Celtics.
Hey, Brad Stevens for president. Bill Simmons campaigns for that
every couple of weeks on Twitter. I'm on the big Celtics bandwagon right now.
I thought you were going to say the Hawks. I mean, I love the Celtics. I just, like, they're not at that point. They're not there yet.
Yeah, definitely could. I'm just saying, I think that's another
team. But another thing, even if they play a team like Boston, I think Boston, as much as I love watching those guys play, I think Shumpert just does an amazing job on Isaiah Thomas. And if Isaiah Thomas is shut down, that Boston team just drops a whole nother level when it comes to production.
Yeah, to that point, Oliver, I think that they're way underrated and they are a really talented squad. I just think that matchup-wise, they're one of those teams that even if the Cavaliers don't strategize at all and they just run ISOs down their throat, that'll do it, you know? It's an interesting thought just on the basis that Brad Stevens is such an upgrade at coaching.
Yeah, I think Boston can push them but not win. I think Atlanta can push them and not win. I think Toronto can push them and not win. I think Charlie can
win. Yeah, right?
But I don't think any of those teams can win. I think that all those teams can push them to 6-7 games. I just don't see any of those teams winning a series.
Yeah, that's the scary part. That's why I would say 80% rather than 95 or 90 or whatever, is because here's the deal. They play a first-round matchup against the Heat or a second-round matchup against the Celtics, and then your 6-7 game series, 6-7 game series.
Okay, sure.
And then you get to your Eastern Conference Finals and you play a team that has either blown the doors out of whoever they played or is in a similar situation. And then it comes down to health. And if, you know, one of those big three guys is out or two of them or potentially something happens there, I mean, that's...
Yeah, but every game that LeBron is pushed to play more, that's just more minutes on his body because I feel like the Cavs are going to need to play him like 40 minutes a night. Like, they're going to need LeBron on the court.
That's more of what I'm looking at is, you know, just like the Warriors could have a tough time this year if somebody goes down, the same thing applies for Cleveland, especially if it's LeBron. Because he's older, he has had some rest and some injury issues in the past.
Just LeBron? Based on,
huh?
LeBron?
I mean, he's had knacks here and there. I know he's not probably going to...
He's been banged up.
He's like, dude, he's like never had any injury problems.
Well, he's had to rest because he's had like knee things. Like that happened last year.
Like, whatever,
has,
man.
No, but here's LeBron what I'm trying to say. LeBron has been the
healthiest player. He has injuries. He's played as many minutes as he has ever. And he's like
the only.
But no NBA player is going to sit out of a game.
Yeah, he's had the back injury and things like that. Hey, he's played so many minutes, man. It takes a toll on the legs and those cramps and
I mean, eventually like that is going to start happening, but we have not hit the point that LeBron is someone who's injury prone at
all. No, I'm not suggesting that he's injury prone. I'm saying that he's got a lot of minutes on that body, and I'm not saying we've hit the point where he's injury prone by any means, but I am saying that I know he has a lot of legs or a lot of minutes on his legs. And I know that he's going to be...
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting thought that once he starts to degrade in terms of how healthy his body is, will he hit a wall sort of the way that Kobe did where it's like, nope, body's done. Or will it be a slow deteriorating sort of like Dwayne Wade has been? You know?
They'll be closer to Wade than Kobe.
But he's got... Probably. My point was he's got injuries. He's got injuries that are... that aren't... on the box score.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with Oliver. Where it's Oliver like always makes good LeBron, point. he's on the wrong side of 30. I wouldn't say he's breaking it down, but he's 31, and he's played so many minutes. He's played so much basketball.
Dude, did you watch the finals last year? History is so in favor of LeBron James.
Who cares if he has the motor? They're still going to get torched.
LeBron James is like... sort of like the physical embodiment of the Spurs in terms of if you're betting against LeBron, that's silly, you know? And as far as players who have tuned their body to the extent that LeBron has, basically the physical regimen that LeBron has had his whole career is the one that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played until he was like 77.
Yeah, he was dropping buckets.
Yeah.
And he was dropping buckets until like his parents died.
Yeah, and I mean, he sort of was in that same position where he did yoga and he tuned his body and he always made sure that he was well stretched and he always sort of controlled.
Yeah. I mean, he does all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so very aware of his body and how to take care of it. Actually my point. My point was specifically that he has injuries that aren't on the box score. I guarantee you that, whether it's just like a you know, a sore hamstring or, you know, a sore thumb or whatever the case may be. I'm just saying over the course...
Well, he clearly doesn't have as much lift in his jump shot because he's not hitting them.
Yes, he's not hitting them at all. Which is... So something.
I was considering mentioning that yesterday when we were talking about Wesley Matthews.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron hasn't torn his Achilles. Oh, yeah. But like with Wesley Matthews, if you don't have that lift on your jump shot, that's like a massive difference.
And here's the other thing about LeBron. When we go into this discussion on why LeBron isn't as valuable as he used to be or whatever the case may be, I think the huge point of that is his jump shooting. And
yeah.
It's a jump shooting game now. It's a jump shooting league. And if you can't make your outside jumpers, especially open three-pointers, because he's missed quite a few of them this season, where he's either open or virtually unguarded and still cannot manage to get it into the hoop. That scares me, man. I mean, I think that's not the way the NBA is going. I think that's old school NBA. It's similar to what we were talking about with, like, I'm not going to even use that example.
He's still crazy dominant, though.
No, he's still crazy dominant. He's still crazy dominant.
That's part of this conversation that, you know...
It's extremely understood.
He has people talking now, especially because of his social media.
Yeah.
He has his social media persona, and he's doing all this weird stuff. But history is in LeBron's favor. He's such a dominant player. You can watch him on any given day. And DeRozan had this quote right before the All-Star game. Someone asked him just point blank, like, why don't you take more threes? And DeRozan was sort of quiet for a second, and then he was like, well, you know, I can get to the basket at will, so I've just been doing that. LeBron is the physical embodiment... Hey, sorry. LeBron is the physical embodiment of, I can get to the basket at will. He's always been like that. And although it's really troubling that he can't hit his jump shots anymore, he hopefully... And, like, I think that they're trying to get players like J.R. Smith, like Channing Frye, like Kyrie, like Kevin Love, even though Kyrie and Kevin Love aren't carrying their weight, they're trying to get jump-shooting players to put around LeBron so that they can sort of not rely on his jump shot because they're not landing. But, hey, we need to go to the next question. Wait for it.
Next question.
And that question is, it's more of a statement. We need to end this podcast because even though there's always stuff to talk about with LeBron, my boy LeBron, best player who's ever played the game.
I agree. I think LeBron is probably the best ever.
At least until like 2 or 3 years from now when Steph Curry ends up being the best who's ever played the game. He's not best player who's ever played the game, second best player in the NBA right now, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have some question marks, but they're still a great team. They're still number one in the East.
They're still a good team.
They're the favorite to make it to the finals. So,
but look at what LeBron just did to us. We went on this tangent because it started out with the social media stuff and the cryptic tweets and how he likes, you know, comes out and says these statements and then and doesn't really back them up. Well, now we've really gone off the discussion of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which I think in his sole purpose, I think that's the whole reason he did it.
Yeah, LeBron the chess master, indeed. So, you've been listening to Almighty Ballin, the Almighty Podcast. My boy Lux over here.
It's me. Hey, check me out on Twitter at MLSurfboard. Tweet basketball thoughts at me. I'll answer them, maybe. And check out And Life, the movie. It's a very good movie, and it's got a good trailer. And watch out for a couple weeks from now when I start plugging this other thing that I'm going to be working on. So...
You need to be better retweeting and, like, sharing my episodes and stuff.
I get, like, a solid 1 out of 3.
Yeah, I guess. so, I mean, maybe if you should try to... Anyways, whatever. But you know who does have a consistent and accurate and wonderful social media presence? The consummate professional, Oliver Maroney. Oliver, what's that?
The professional who lost a lot of credibility by stating that LeBron is not an option for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, dude. Whoever published that article about you that said how you established your credibility is probably going to end up deleting it now.
I know. Man.
Oh, hey. I've already talked about it, but go read that if you're listening. And Oliver... I can't remember. What's that? What's your Twitter handle? Is it at @OMaroney?
At @OMaroney. You are correct, sir. @OMaroney.
Great. Yep. That's what I thought it was. And last but not least, Armon, who has done a super solid job, especially from a analysis and statistical profile. Let's go ahead and give him a round of applause.
Thanks, guys.
Okay? And the great thing about that is, since he did such a solid job, if you go back and listen to some of the earlier podcasts, you know, you can tell that you get better as you do it more, because, like, I wasn't all that great at first, and now I'm the best host. So, he's already better than I used to be, and that means that he's going to be great because he's already good now. So thanks, Armand, for coming on. What's your Twitter?
Yeah, my Twitter is at Armand underscore Berry. So A-R-M-A-N underscore B-E-R-Y. So you can just shoot me any Twitter questions there.
Yeah.
I only got Twitter to talk about basketball, so I'll respond right away.
And make sure you go ahead and read his new article, which will be up certainly by the time that I post this podcast, because this will probably be part three or something like that.
Oh, and on the topic of posts, if any of you who are listening have enjoyed the NBA fanfiction series and have a player or event you'd like me to fictionalize absurdly or not, tweet at me or email me, because sometimes I can't think of anything. So get at me.
You're a professional writer, dude.
I am a professional writer, I just write about other stuff. People pay me to write about other things, too. But if you want more fanfiction content, tell me who you want me to make jokes about.
His last one was about Lance Stevenson, and speaking of recent articles and what I was talking about before Lux interjected, not that it was a problem, you know, you're all good, don't worry about it, is that Armand's last article that is up as of right now, which is the 25th, it's basically the 24th, that first article was about Greg Monroe and how he's failed to adapt to the new play style for NBA bigs. And his article, which is soon to be up, is how Stan Van Gundy has left his thumbprint on the NBA writ large, but mostly on the Pistons and on his previous Magic team, which Dwight Howard kicked him off of and then left.
Basically.
So, yep. And hey, I don't like Dwight Howard. Stop it, guys.
Oh my god.
Does anyone like Dwight Howard anymore?
Wow. Are you watching?
No one. But these guys keep claiming that I like him.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Oliver,
you know how fragile my ego is.
I heard that. I really did hear, though, that Fan Essentials was trying to hire Dwight Howard as their next endorsement.
I find that hard to believe because it's such a well-run company.
It makes so much good, such good decisions, like sponsoring this podcast.
Like sponsoring this podcast, and we're basically the LeBron James of podcasts.
Well, whatever basketball player we are of podcasts, because it might just be the Kent Bazemore, but it's definitely not the Dwight Howard of podcasts.
We're not the Dwight Howard of podcasts, and you can tell because you can get 30% off your first Fan Essentials month order if you use the promo code Almighty. That's Almighty right now. Go ahead, fanessentials.net. Go. I don't know why you're not doing it yet. Open up Chrome, open up Safari, start typing fanessentials.net. Go order and support this podcast and support your friends here at almightyballer.com and thank Almighty you. Ball and the Almighty Podcast. Thank you so much. All right, guys, thanks for coming on. Armand, thanks for being
support,
you.
Guys.
Same for Lux, same for Oliver.
Hey.
And
thank you.
We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, cool.
To ball is awesome. Or whatever.
The madman Malik makes some seeds, run for milk of magnesia. Maybe that'll ease ya. Master of this microphone, Mackin. Master as in great, I have your brain going in circles as my style tends to modulate. I'm making moves, never movies. That's where your MCs lose me, which makes most of your stubborn like groupies. Yeah, you know my flavor, I rip this whole jam apart. Fuck around, I have your heart, like Jordan had stocks. While you playing hokey pokey, there's no time to be jokey. Cause I come out to play every night like Charles Oakley. This allowing whack rhyming, you lose your grip from chalk climbing. Let me take this time to say R.I.P. to Phyllis Hyman, who never got the props that she damn well deserved. But see me, you don't want to see me, cause all MCs will get served. The nerve for you to even step to the fifer. I bum rush your set and crush your whole cypher. Reserve a spot for me in hip hop's Hall of Fame. This rapping ain't no game, big up your head and maintain. Yeah, queens forever in this piece, crushing any beat. Ain't nothing sweet, the bakeries across the fucking street. Fight dog, swinging it back and forth just like Aaliyah. Making moves on your heart like that chick Tamia. No doubt about it, I love hip hop to death. But yo, tip ringing the chorus, cause I'm losing my breath.
Hey yo, you know the deal when the jiggy dog is on the scene.